Halftime with Seton Hall leading Monmouth here on the Shore Sports Network, 38-25. Matt Harmon getting a couple of minutes to talk with Josh Newman of the Asbury Park Press. Josh, the Monmouth beat writer starting this season after taking over for Tony Graham, but also pretty wired in to all of the college basketball scene here from the Seton Hall side and from the Monmouth side. Josh, let's just talk about the game.
Come out with their A game yet? Over three games, they'd kind of played down to the competition, and you know they lost at Mercer in double overtime on Saturday. And, you know, a lot of people, including me, thought that that would be the wake-up call. You know, you thought you would come out here and you would see the best of Seton Hall, and again, they've kind of played down to Monmouth, who was down by only nine a couple times. It's only a 13-point game, and it's not like Seton Hall has really come out and kind of taken over this game fully.
Yeah, it hasn't been a dominating performance. Certainly, the one thing from the Mama side, obviously, well, two things, I should say, on the offensive side. Number one, not shooting the ball at a great percentage. They're seeming to struggle a little bit, at least tonight, in a half-court set to try and get that one good shot to kind of get things up and running.
And you're absolutely right. And, you know, when you take Seton Hall and you compare them to the personnel of Hofstra and Penn, the Seton Hall personnel, you know, they're just quicker. They're faster in the backcourt. You know, Sterling Gibbs has played very well through three games this season. Jaron seeing the same thing. This is just a different level of college basketball. And at least early, you could see how Justin Robinson was kind of having some trouble trying to adjust to that speed and athleticism.
You know, I said during the course of the last game against Penn and tonight, he's quickly becoming at least my favorite guy to watch, because I feel like no matter really who Monmouth has on their schedule this year, Deion Jones is going to be a guy athletically that can really play with some of these bigger schools. He's not athleticized by anybody with Seton Hall, and to me, he's just got that little bit of an X factor to kind of keep Monmouth alive in games. As long as he's doing what he did in that first half, and that's being able to step out, hit a couple of three-pointers. He can also drive to the basket. He's like that perfect swing guy that can do a little bit of everything.
And you're right. You know, when he was in high school in Delaware, you know, a lot of people felt that he was under-recruited. He ended up at Towson, and he had a real nice freshman year at Towson. It didn't work out for him there. He transferred, and King Rice jumped all over that. King Rice saw the value in Deion Jones, and he was able to secure his commitment. You know, he sat a year. He's playing now for the first time for Monmouth, and he's really, really played very well. And as you said, he's out here against the Big East team, and he's not getting, you know, manhandled or outplayed or anything. He's right there with these Seton Hall guys.
Yeah, which you would think will bode well for later games when the MAC schedule kind of starts to get up in full swing. We talked about in the pregame the importance of taking care of the basketball for Monmouth, and the turnover battle has been pretty even one side or the other. The biggest difference in 11 Monmouth turnovers, Seton Hall's converted that into 17 points, getting out on the break a little bit more. Seton Hall has 10 turnovers, but Monmouth only 4 points off of those. That may be the difference in playing a Big East team as opposed to being a MAC team in their first year. Once you get that ball, if you're Seton Hall in a turnover, you are sprinting up the floor, and they've been able to convert on some easy chances.
Right. I mean, you said it as well as I could. I mean, playing against a team like Seton Hall, you can't make mistakes, because a team like that, they're going to take those mistakes and they're going to turn them into points. As you said, 11 Monmouth turnovers turning into 17 Seton Hall points. If you're going to keep this a game and give yourself a chance late, you need to cut down on that number of turnovers.
Now on the Seton Hall side, you know, some of our listeners probably just follow New Jersey basketball, and you cover all the teams as well as anybody, certainly here in the area. On their side, I would say they have to be concerned, as you said, haven't really been able to put together a real solid performance in their first three games. And tonight, despite being up 13, their main guy, Fuquan Edwin, who's their top scorer, at least coming into this one, he's really struggled. 0 of 3. He's just got 1 point. He's a guy that, you know, averaging about 19 coming in to the night tonight. He's a guy that's got to be more consistent for the Seton Hall team to be able to take the next step in the Big East.
Yeah, that's a very glaring stat. I'm looking at it right now. He's 0 for 3 from the field. He has 1 point. He only played 11 minutes. And this is a kid who he's improved so much from when he first got to Seton Hall to now. You know, he's being looked at as a potential NBA draft pick in June. He's coming off a career-high 35 on Saturday night against Mercer. He's just, you know, the ball's been rolling for him. He's gotten better and better and better, and you thought coming off the 35 Saturday night that he would have a big one tonight, and it's just not happening for him right now.
One of the guys that I've been impressed with, and certainly his stats would dictate that he's having a good night, Patrick Outa, the 6'9 Czech Republic, kind of that prototypical European big guy. Gets the ball on the outside. He can shoot the ball from the outside. He does have a three-pointer, but also can take guys off the dribble. He's a matchup problem for Monmouth certainly tonight, because if they're going to play a guy in Tillman or maybe Brady, he'll be able to penetrate past those guys. Looking at Seton Hall as they move forward, is he going to be a matchup problem for the opposition come Big East play?
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, a 6'9 guy like that, a lefty, who's versatile enough to get the ball on the block, do something with it down low, or take it, at the foul line and go to the rim, that's going to be a matchup problem for anybody. And you call him a prototypical European. He's also very rugged. You know, those European forwards, they tend to be a little soft, a little timid, but he's not that at all. Once they get to Big East play, he's going to be a real problem for a lot of those defenses.
Seton Hall leading Monmouth at the break right now, 38-25. We are at the halftime portion of our broadcast. Matt Harmon with Josh Newman from the Asbury Park Press. You can read Josh in the daily edition of the APP, and also check him out at app.com on the Hawks Nest blog. Always throwing stuff up there, whether it be Monmouth basketball related or just basketball related in general, football related as well. Josh, Monmouth in the books here. Seton Hall, we've talked about obviously with this matchup. Rutgers, a team that's playing tonight as well. They lead Canisius as we speak in the later part now of the second half, 46-42. I think Rutgers, a team not in the Big East obviously any longer, in the AAC for 1 year before they go to the Big Ten. They're a team though that is like Seton Hall in that I think everyone in the area is waiting for them to make that next step up and be a little bit more competitive in terms of wins and losses. So I think a lot of questions obviously going on up there in Piscataway, New Brunswick for this season too.
Yeah, people have been waiting on Rutgers basketball since the early 90s. I mean, they're on the cusp, and, something happens, coaching situation like we just had a few months back. But, I've been watching those kids for a lot of years, also at JSBL during the summer. They have the pieces where they could be very good. And Eddie Jordan has proven here early that he has their ear. If they could improve their defense just a little bit, they could be in the mix in the AAC, which is not... it's a little top heavy. The middle of that league. They could make some waves. And this, these 2 days, they're playing Canisius right now. If they win, they'll play a very good Drexel team that just went to the NCAA tournament tomorrow. So if they can finish off Canisius and give Drexel a game, that'll be a huge step forward if they can take care of business there.
Final question for you, Josh, from a Monmouth perspective here, coming out in the second half. I said for MU, you wanted to get through the first 20 minutes and hope that you maybe had a chance to stay alive here in the second half. What's Monmouth need to do to kind of get themselves back into this game and maybe make it a competitive last 5-10 minutes as we sit here from the Rock?
I think the chief thing is they need to take care of the ball a lot better. The 11 turnovers, that's not going to get it done against a team like this. A Deion Jones has 4. That needs to be cut down. That's the bottom line. If you're going to give yourself a shot here, you need to take care of the ball.
Josh, always good to see you. Thanks for swinging by for a couple minutes. I'll see you, I would imagine, on Saturday, last Monmouth home football game.
Friday night at St. John's, Saturday afternoon back for football.
Very good. Looking forward to it. Josh Newman of the Asbury Park Press, certainly one of the best in the business. We take a quick timeout here. We'll make it a 2-minute break. When we come back, Eddie Iacopinti rejoins you and we get set for the start of the second half. Seton Hall 38, Monmouth 25. We're back right after this on the Shore Sports Network.